The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
As we are talking about the cost of living crisis, a lot of people still looking for a way out, various escape hatches that they can fall upon and ways to cut their bill. And the big one, of course, is home heating, but it's by far not the only one that is on people's mind. A lot of people still on websites looking at the price of cars. A lot of people want to change from petrol or diesel. Petrol is about 2.03, I think about 2.13 in some places, 2.10, depending on where you go. A lot of people really crippled, particularly those in rural areas and those who have a regular commute. But the switch over to electric cars is still not that easy, and a lot of people are still looking at eye-watering prices. A new survey from AA has suggested that just over a third of people would be open to making the switch from a fuel combustion engine car to electric car, with higher fuel costs being a major reason. So is the country veering towards more electric vehicles, and can it be done this autumn in particular? Joining me in studio is Paddy Cumann, who is the head of communications at AA Ireland, and also we have Philip Nolan, who is the motoring correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail, on the phone as well. We'll talk to him in a second. Paddy, first of all, coming into the studio, every day we're assailed by people who say switch, leave the petrol behind, leave the diesel, which is slightly cheaper than the petrol at the moment. But there's still a lot of blockages, and they're being highlighted in some of the survey work you guys have done.
Yeah, look, obviously it's a great idea to switch, but it is easier said than done. But I guess what's highlighted by the survey is that it's fuel prices that have really dictated people's move or desire to move towards electric vehicles. Obviously, previously it had been a choice for people, but now people are saying that it's actually a greater reason than the environmental reason. So they're saying that this is the increasing prices of fuel, which we've done another survey over the last 24 hours, and petrol is up again, diesel is up again. So we are that's now forcing people to look at EVs where they may not have been before.
Yeah, I mean, there's only two ways out of it. Don't take the car, right? So take public transport, which is not necessarily available to everybody, or pay the higher charges. So I suppose the calculus is changing. The figures that people write down on the back of an envelope are changing by the day when it comes to electric vehicles.
Yeah, they are, because obviously when you look at the average consumer driving 17,000 kilometres per year now is spending about 2,600, 2,700 euro just on fueling it alone. So that's 42% more than last year. So obviously electric vehicles are still quite expensive, but people are now starting to do the maths and think, right, okay, this is how much I'm going to be spending just on fueling it. It's not getting any cheaper. Maybe it's time to switch.
Now, your other problem is getting one at an affordable price. Would you give us any idea of what an entry level EV is selling for at the moment? I know there's different models, but you might have some rough idea to kind of just orientate people.
Yeah, a very entry level car is going to cost you just under 30 grand, the likes of the Renault Zoe, and then you can keep going northwards from there. But the average kind of SUV shape, which people love at the moment, is still going to cost you in the mid 40s to 50,000 euro. So it's a lot of money. However, the grants are still very generous, but that price still includes those grants. No doubt these cars are expensive, but they will come down over the years because we have much more choice than we had before.
Now, I'll come on to Philip in 1 second, but what other obstacles are out there? The price is the big one, but charging points is something you just constantly hear that there aren't enough of them, they're not in the right areas. If you live in a big apartment block, they may not have one at all. Is that still a big impediment to the switchover?
Well, I mean, in terms of the survey, it's a perception for sure. We would always say that the easiest place and the cheapest place to charge is at home. But obviously, as you said, if you're in a apartment block, it's not that easy. So there are still limitations. We have about 1,900 public charging points at the moment. It's just not enough.
And how many people are going private, just building a charging point in their garage, those who are lucky enough to be able to do that?
Yeah, I mean, there are grants. There's still a 600 euro grant for anyone buying a new EV. So that will take care of quite a big bulk of those costs. So really, that's open to anyone buying a new or used EV at the moment. So that is still something that takes away a bulk of that cost.
Now, let's bring in our second guest, who is Philip Nolan, who is motoring correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. Good afternoon to you, Philip.
Good afternoon, Amos.
Looking at an entry point there of about 30,000 based on the figures Paddy has given, I mean, do you get any sense of, you know, as these petrol prices, as Paddy has highlighted, and diesel prices go up, that the 30,000, what might have been prohibitive a few months ago, is now got people thinking, look, it's not great, but it's just propelling me, no pun intended, to make that decision at this stage?
Yes, I definitely get that feeling. And funnily enough, I have friends who have actually made the decision. And the one thing I think people should bear in mind is that you're getting really, really good trade-in values on second-hand cars at the moment, because there's been quite a shortage because of the pandemic. And so looking at the gap between, you know, what you would actually have to physically shell out might actually be a very useful exercise. That said and done, if you take a car like the Peugeot 208, you can buy the entry-level model of that in a petrol version for $22,370, and the entry-level EV is $28,730. So there is a €6,360 premium to go electric, and that I think is something that might put people off. But if they get a good resale value on the previous, traded value on the previous car, and they do the maths, as Paddy says, you know, I think people need to sit down for about 3 months and just evaluate every kilometre they drive and how much it costs, and then work out the sums and see if it works out.
Now, charging points we mentioned already, a lot of, I've seen there's a good few of them in DART stations. You do see them in public facilities, parks and so on, if you can get in there. But I was amazed in preparation for this item to see, Philip, that free charging points at Lidl's are about to be got rid of.
Yes, from this Friday you'll have to pay for them as well. They had been free, they're on the EasyGo network. But I think, in fairness, it's down to a couple of things. One, obviously, maybe is the cost of electricity. But also, you know, people were taking the proverbial, they were leaving their cars there and then wandering off and going back home, effectively. And they were literally blocking chargers for hours and hours, whereas they were obviously designed to make sure that people who went shopping could actually get home. So, you know, I think we're a victim sometimes in Ireland as well. The same held true with the SBE cars charge points when they were free. People just hug them all day, and that's not sustainable when there's so many cars. And there are 47,000 EVs on the road in Ireland now, full EVs, and with, you know, as Paddy says, 1,900 charge points. It's not enough. And, you know, I have a cousin who lives in Richmond and Surrey, and we have some of them here, but we need to do this. If you think of inner city Dublin with terraced houses, in Richmond and Surrey, all the lampposts on her street have charge points built into them. The electricity is already there, and that's what we need to do, because you can trail cables across a footpath for insurance reasons, but you can certainly connect a car to a lamppost.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of people texting us in on 53106. Electric chargers are still out of the league for most people, electric vehicles. I live in a terrace street with no access to my front garden at all. Unless I run a cable on the public footpath, I won't be able to charge at night, and it's not worth the insurance risk either. Paddy, this charging point and the kind of places that people live, it's a real issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Now, as Philip mentioned, you know, the lamppost idea is excellent, and there is precedent even here. They exist in Malahide, and they've also started putting them in Sandyford Industrial Estate. So they do exist, and they are a useful alternative. But I think the apartment blocks issue is another one that's going to have to be addressed as well, because for people living in those sorts of areas, they, you know, especially buying new apartment builds, they need to make sure that there's somewhere to charge those electric vehicles.
So what would you advise people? I'm off on a journey, Dublin, Cork. I don't want to be going from pillar to post getting charged up. I mean, what would you advise people doing that kind of journey, which is typical at this time of the year?
It's a spin. I drive an EV. It's one I do a lot. And the charging points are getting an awful lot better. The likes of Junction 14 on the N7 and also at Cashel. The Ionity network, which is a joint venture between some of the larger car manufacturers, has super fast chargers, and they are very, very, very good as well. So look, for anyone, especially with a longer journey, if you're buying an EV, you have to make sure that those longer journeys aren't every day, because it will be a pain, but on occasion they're very doable.
Now, you've mentioned the 30,000 for a new EV. What are we looking at on second-hand prices?
Second-hand prices are good. There are quite a decent amount of choice on second-hand EVs. Now, you have to remember that there will be a little bit of battery loss at some stage. Some of the batteries will lose a little bit of range, but it's not terrible. So, yeah, you would get into a cheap enough Nissan Leaf for €6,000-€7,000 as an entry point. Now, it won't go very far. But if you're
when you say not very far, well, give us an idea of range.
You could be down to 120, 130 kilometres for range in that. That would be an early example of a car. But if you were just nipping to the shops or the school, that would be fine.
Yeah, so don't go to the Inishowen Peninsula.
No, it's just going to take you a while. But no, the second-hand choice is getting better. We're not there yet. The choice is very limited in terms of second-hand cars, but the greater choice in terms of new.
Now, Philip, we've been hearing a few months ago about some of the manufacturers really struggling to turn out enough vehicles. I mean, do you have any idea what average waiting time is to get an actual EV, a brand new one? I mean, I've heard 3 or 4 months has been typical, but maybe that's stretching it even further.
With some models, it's next year, to be honest. I mean, it's kind of a perfect storm in many ways. There was a semiconductor shortage anyway, and then some of the car companies rely on parts that are actually made in Ukraine. So that particular aspect of the supply chain is disrupted as well. I know, for instance, one of the most popular cars now, the Kia EV6, basically that's gone for the year. You won't get one until next year. You will get the Niro, which is coming later in the year. But also there are supply issues with the likes of the Skoda Enyaq Coupe, which I test drove in Italy there a couple of months ago, but it won't be here, I think, until probably January or February. So, you know, there definitely are issues. And I know people are getting frustrated, but it's in many ways circumstances that actually are beyond the car maker's control, sadly.
Now, Philip, a lot of people asking, the mention of batteries by Paddy has got people all in a flap here. One of our texters is saying, I've concerns about the battery. How long do they last? That's my big concern if I'll have to pay a massive amount a few years down the line. We're talking second hand in this case. So should people be pretty wary about how old the vehicle is and the quality of battery that's sitting in there?
Well, perhaps, but that's said and done. I mean, I think that the calculation that I've seen that appears to be the most accurate is you lose about 2% of battery capacity a year. So after 10 years, you're probably talking about 20%. Now, incidentally, the likes of Hyundai on the Ioniq 5 give you a five-year mileage guarantee, but a 10-year guarantee on the battery. So if you got a 10-year guarantee on the battery, I wouldn't be, you know, overly worried. Equally, I think as well, people need to pay attention to what battery size they actually need. People are obsessed with range. And they think that they need 500 kilometers, and so they'll go for, let's say, a 77-kilowatt battery. But if they actually analyze their daily mileage, they probably only need the 55-kilowatt battery, which will get them 380, 400 kilometers. But the price premium between the two could be €6,000. So it's really important that you actually buy the car that suits your individual driving needs. Don't listen to, you know, what it does generally. What it does for you is what's really important.
Now, Paddy, this whole thing about batteries, those figures sound kind of reassuring from Philip, but what would it cost you to change one out if you do get to that stage?
I think the thing to remember about batteries is that it's not one big lump. If you imagine, and I use the analogy of a box of After Eight mints, they're made up of a series of cells, and sometimes a cell needs to be changed. And so it's often, you know, over the course of 7-8 years, it might be one cell that needs replacing. Okay. And that can be quite a reasonable cost to change. So people get caught up, oh God, what happens if the battery goes? It's not that simple. It's a series of batteries that can be swapped out. So there's no need to worry too much.
Okay, well, I think people are almost have this fear that they'll break down in the middle of, you know, the Barack Obama Plaza at 9 o'clock on some rainy Monday morning. I think that sort of stalks the land in terms of EVs. But as you say, the thing is tightening, the prices are tightening, so there isn't any choice at the moment. If you want to make the long-term savings, we all tend to look at the short-term cash cost, but a long-term investment, it's still there despite these. And if there is the delays, you're better off getting it in now and pick it up early next year. So well done on both used and well done on the survey, because it does highlight a lot of relevant issues. Paddy Cumann is Head of Communications at AA Ireland, and we're also heard there from Philip Nolan, who is motoring correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. Thanks to both of you on the subject of e-vehicles and whether you should be changing as we get through this long, expensive summer.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.